I know I've heard about the Shanghai Jews before, but I honestly like didn't know that much about them. And it seems like that's not the story that we tend to think about when we think about refugees from Nazi Germany. Like, how did that inform your childhood growing up, like having that in your past and or in your family's history?
It is admittedly a very unusual story and was unknown for decades beyond largely the community of Jews that migrated to the United States primarily from Shanghai. I grew up in San Francisco. I was born there. And much of my childhood community growing up was made up of Jews from Germany and from Austria, and then even more particular, of Jews who had been in Shanghai and who had migrated to America and primarily to the San Francisco Bay Area. The estimates are somewhere between 20 and 40,000 Jews who were in Shanghai and San Francisco and Los Angeles were real centers of that migration to America.
So, just so I have the timeline correct, can you kind of just like walk me through the details of your parents' progression, like when they left, how long they were there in Shanghai, and then where they came through again?
My father left from Germany. He was the only surviving member of his immediate family to be able to get out. My mother and her parents and a few of her relatives were able to get visas to Shanghai very late in the latest chapters of the 1930s. My mother met my father there. They were married in 1941 in one of the very few structures that still exists as part of the old Jewish ghetto, the synagogue that was there, one of several. And they were married there. We still have their framed wedding contract. We still have the pictures of their wedding reception and of them dressed as bride and groom for their wedding. So they spent the duration of the war there. They spent from the time under Chinese control to Japanese control to the time when American forces were sent there to investigate the rumors as to the existence of a Jewish ghetto. And they eventually were able to get the papers to come to the United States in 1947.
Wow. So they were there for, 8 or 9 years.
Correct. They were there for 8 or 9 years, going each of them from the height of European culture, these capitals, particularly Vienna, of Western civilization and art, in music and the like, and to migrate to a community that was as foreign to them as night could be today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So did they talk at all about that experience to you as a kid?
They did. I recall my mother telling me her family owned a cosmetic company in Vienna, retail and wholesale. My mother met her best friend for life there, to whom they sold perfume along with cold cream and others. And they did this all out of their tiny little bathroom in their tiny little apartment in Shanghai. They manufactured all of this and sold it on the streets of Shanghai. They had to boil everything they ate to purify it, the water to purify it as well. And I remember my mother telling me of the fact that they were among the very first to know that the war had ended because they lived next door to a doctor who had a transistor radio of sorts, so that he heard the war was over and he banged on their door in the middle of the night to tell them. I also remember the story when my mother saw the first American soldiers enter the ghetto and what that was like to look at these American uniforms and what that meant to them at the end of the war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, if they were in Shanghai under Japanese occupation too, I mean, were their lives in danger there since Japanese were allies of the,
Yeah, they were allies of the Nazis. And yes, in fact, they had to move from one ghettoized neighborhood to a much smaller neighborhood that was controlled by the Japanese. And that was under the direction of the Nazi regime. The Nazis wanted the Japanese to exterminate the Jews. And the Japanese, for whatever reason, refused to do so. But they made their lives much more miserable. There was a Japanese man there who was in charge of the Japanese confinement of the Jews, who was very mercurial in his temperament and personality, and who needed to confirm each and every migration of each individual Jew into and out of the ghetto for a variety of commercial and other reasons. And you never knew whether he was going to strike people down or to scream at them, either on their going out or their coming in. But life was much more harsh under the Japanese, and yet they had theater, they had coffee shops, they had schools, they had cultural events, but they also had disease, starvation, people dying in the streets. So they did get progressively worse before the Americans prevailed at the end of the war.
So, like, what did Shanghai, do you think, represent to your parents? Like, was it this beacon of refuge, or was it really just like a stop that they didn't want to be at on the way to America?
I think, given the place that they were in versus what was happening and documented to them in Europe, to the Jewish community, they were very grateful for a place to be that, relative to where they had left, was free from imminent harm and the extermination of a people. For my mother in particular, she recalls she was a teenager when she arrived there. It was much easier for her to adapt than for her parents, who loved Vienna, who in fact returned and wanted to return to Vienna the minute the war was over to reclaim their home, to reclaim their businesses, both wholesale and retail, and their savings. And they were able to do so, as were their siblings of that generation. For those of the next generation, there were very tearful goodbyes because they had no desire to return. And in fact, they went on to Australia, to South America, to pre-Israel Palestine, and to the United States.
That's so interesting. So your grandparents were able to get everything back?
They were able to get virtually everything back.
I've never heard of that either.
And one of my earliest childhood memories are a couple of vignettes in traveling with my mother to Vienna to visit her parents there. And since then, my wife and I have gone in recent years as guests of the Austrian and Viennese governments. And most recently, my oldest son has gone there, and in part to see his own history there.
So I know the idea behind this piece is that it's sort of like, what could the artistic collaboration be like if Jews and Chinese musicians like had a longer time to be together? Like what, I don't know, just sort of exploring that intersect and the imprint that they could have had on each other. Do you feel like your parents' time in Shanghai left any sort of imprint on them?
It absolutely did. My mother in particular left Shanghai speaking a very high fluency in the dialect of that particular area, which I think was Mandarin Chinese. I'm not sure. What I do know is that she was able to converse with many of the Chinese Americans who had made their way to the San Francisco Bay Area. And I remember that because whenever we would go to mom-and-pop groceries, many of which at the time were owned by Chinese immigrants, she was able to converse with them about the fruit and produce she was buying there. So I think that she had very high levels of interaction with the outside community there.
Probably more so than her parents' generation.
Absolutely more so.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Have you ever been to Shanghai?
I have not been. I have had till now not the strongest desire to go. But I will say that many of the members of my congregation have gone. That synagogue where my parents were married is now a museum. And they have sent me photos, texts, and emails with the image of my parents' names on the archival computers and other documents that exist within that museum.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, so I know Colleen kind of asked you this in the performance, but like, why is it important for people to remember this particular component of the Nazi refugee story?
Well, I think one of the fascinating things to me, selfishly so, is that I am here because my parents were able to find a singular place of refuge. Had they stayed in Austria or Germany, their fate most likely would have been sealed. The Austrians turned out to be virulent in their open anti-Semitism, and those Jews of Germany perished on a large scale, as did my father's family. So what this represents to me is that people were willing to leave everything they knew, not just their own homes, their own businesses and property, but really their entire civilization, their way of life, to a place as remote to them as the sun is to the moon or day is to night, because for them it meant life and survival. And I think that is something to keep in mind when we look at the immigrant crisis today and what it takes for people to wish to put everything at risk, to face the unknown of a migration, because what they face at home is so evil and terror-filled for them that it is worth the journey to that unknown. And what it is to be a person and a nation, for whatever reason, that is willing to open a corridor to rescue a different community, and the opening it takes of heart and spirit to do that, to be more welcoming of the stranger than fearful of the other.